Dr. Junlei Li, the co-director of the Fred Rogers Center in Pittsburgh, says that the question in the iconic opening song of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, "Won't You Be My Neighbor," is an invitation to closeness, which was at the heart of all Fred Rogers did. This question and invitation are deeply rooted in Scripture, particularly in our gospel reading for today, the familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus made it clear that it's less about determining who your neighbors are and therefore who it is you're supposed to love, according to biblical command, and more about establishing yourself as a good neighbor by showing love and mercy to others. Jesus turned the question, "Who is my neighbor?" into an invitation, actually a command, to be a good neighbor. It's hard to argue against that being the central biblical theme to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and really all that Fred Rogers did. It's central because Fred Rogers grew up in the church. His upbringing was one of privilege, but his family was very involved in social outreach through their Presbyterian church. They exposed him to poverty at a young age, and he remembered his father, a wealthy businessman, once insisting that the church was not caring for its neighbors well enough if it finished the budget year with too much in the bank, because the church's funds were for taking care of people in need, not for wasting away in the bank. As significant givers in that church, the Rogers family took their responsibility to return the gifts God had given them very seriously. I'm trying to imagine what it would be like to have Fred's father on our session here. I think I'd like that. When it comes to the story of the Good Samaritan, we sometimes get lost in trying to understand what was going on with the priest and the Levite who passed the man by. Fred Rogers could probably relate more to the man on the side of the road, the one who was beaten and then passed by. Children know what that's like, to be passed by. It doesn't take long for the playground hierarchy to be established, and soon everyone knows who is in and who is out. Fred, once bullied and called Fat Freddy as children chased him all the way home from school, knew what it meant to be the last one picked for a team or to be passed over in the end. The stories of our own lives and the stories we hear and know well shape us. They shape our lives. Sometimes we hear particular words from a story that echo and call to us as we go about our daily lives. Surely Fred Rogers heard the words of the story he knew so well. He passed by on the other side. The one who showed him mercy. Go and do likewise. And those words shaped him as they shape us. The gospel reading begins with a challenge from a lawyer that Jesus reflects back to him. Now they say a lawyer, at least a good one, never asks a question they don't already know the answer to. So what was he up to? The lawyer wants to know what is required, and Jesus makes him answer his own question. And it's the same thing we heard 2 weeks ago in the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But that wasn't enough for the lawyer. He wanted some clarity on who his neighbor is. Who specifically does he need to love? What are the limits of legal responsibility? Are we talking geographic neighbor or ethnic or tribal? So Jesus tells him a story. John Calvin, in thinking about why Jesus told the story the way he did, says, Christ might simply have told the lawyer that the word neighbor applies indiscriminately to anyone, for the whole human race is linked in a holy bond of brotherhood. It would have been clearer if the command had run, thou shalt love everyone as thyself. Yet the story has virtue because it forces the lawyer to admit, in Calvin's words, that our neighbor is the one most foreign to us, For God has bound all people together for mutual aid. Jesus could have just lectured the lawyer, laid it all out, but he chose to tell a story. And that's very much the model Fred Rogers preferred to use too. In a 1979 letter to a friend, Rogers wrote, "What a tough job to try to communicate the gift of Jesus Christ to anybody. It can't be simply talked about, can it? Jesus himself used parables, so I guess that's our directive. Try to show the kingdom of God through stories as much as possible." So that's what he did on his television program. He introduced his viewers to neighbors they might not otherwise meet. Especially in the neighborhood of make-believe, through the puppets, he told stories. And the stories he told through those puppets were about community and how to live together. King Friday the 13th often wanted to gain control when he discovered someone new or different. But his neighbors showed him a different way. Daniel Striped Tiger was scared of a lot of things, but his neighbors showed him a different way. So many lessons were taught through the stories of the puppets in the neighborhood of make-believe that wouldn't have connected with the kids, wouldn't have sunk in and stuck in the same way if Mr. Rogers had just sat down and taught a lesson. The puppets and Mr. Rogers in his visits with neighbors like Mr. McFeely in his speedy deliveries, Handyman Negri, Officer Clemens and Lady Aberlin showed the viewers how to be good neighbors. Fred Rogers never asked what the legal limits of responsibility for a neighbor were. For him, a neighbor was the person you happen to be with at the moment. Whether that person is a Samaritan, a hermit bearing gifts, or a television viewer. He didn't see the barriers between people. Mr. Rogers regularly demonstrated that there are no barriers when it comes to loving your neighbor. In Jesus' parable, the Samaritan proves to be the neighbor by crossing the barrier of hatred and prejudice to be merciful to someone who, in all probability, also despises Samaritans. A neighbor, in the parable, is not defined by geography or demographic similarity. Neither is it defined as someone worthy to receive love. A neighbor in the parable is the one able to offer love. The neighbor is not the man beaten and left on the side of the road. The neighbor is the one who acts in love towards the other. One of the stories about Mr. Rogers that has circulated so often in recent years, particularly following a natural disaster or tragedy, is actually the wisdom of his mother. It's something we still need now. His mother told him, when he was scared, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." And that's what he did. He looked for the helpers, those who noticed need in the world and did something about it. And they became his heroes, modeling the lesson Jesus taught his disciples. Mr. Rogers lived out the "go and do likewise" of the parable by showing mercy, by loving neighbor, by being a helper, and not just looking for one. His theological mentor and favorite seminary professor, Dr. William Orr, modeled loving the neighbor for Fred. He recalled seeing his professor return from lunch on a cold winter's day in Pittsburgh without his overcoat because Dr. Orr had given it to a person who was cold. From Dr. Orr, he learned what it means to live theologically. When Rogers asked his mentor about the coat, he said, "Oh, I have one other at home." That was all he said about it. Rogers remembers, "What I discovered was that William Orr took Jesus of Nazareth seriously, very seriously." Mr. Rogers took Jesus seriously too. That's why in 1972, when President Nixon made a speech declaring that poverty was a choice and due to moral depravity and laziness, the subject came up in the neighborhood of make-believe when hard-working magician puppet Mr. Apple was unable to support his family no matter how long he worked. And when a task force created by President Reagan said they found no evidence of hunger in the United States, Mr. Rogers ran a week of episodes dealing with hunger in the neighborhood. He lived his life as one of the helpers, as one who showed mercy and acted in love towards others. Followers of Jesus are supposed to be the ones who help people in the ditch because helping is the way of life, not only for those needing help, but for those offering it. All are in this together. Neighbor is a communal category. The Samaritan knew that life, not just for the needy one, but for everyone, and not just for the moment, but for eternity, requires being and having neighbors. The question, who is my neighbor, is central to us today, as individuals and as a church. It is or should be the question at the heart of any conversation today about immigration, about Black Lives Matter, homelessness, global warming, hunger, poverty, race, sexual identity, victims of assault, political affiliation, ecumenical and interfaith relations, and so much more. Is there any category of person who is not neighbor to another? This question is important today, the day in the church year when we celebrate that there are no geographic boundaries in Christ's body. Today on World Communion Sunday, we celebrate that we gather with our neighbors all over the world to participate in the gift that Jesus gave us, the Lord's Supper. This day reminds us that across geographic, language, political, and theological boundaries, what unites us is more important than what divides us. Jesus told the story about that too. And we learn that the neighbor is the one who shows mercy. And mercy, for the record, does not ask first about color or race or sexual identity or economic status or political party. Mercy is not concerned with deserving or purity or piety. Mercy is what comes from God to the community and to each of us. It is a gift given. George Wirth, former pastor of First Presbyterian Church Atlanta and longtime friend of Fred Rogers, recently said, "We are now in a fractured time with cynicism, breakdown, and instability across this country. We're really struggling with respecting people, especially those who are different than we are." Reflecting on the timeliness of the renewed popularity of his friend, Mr. Rogers, he continues, "Civility, respect, and loving the neighbor, this is providential. It's at the right time in the right country, because we need all this back to remind us of our better angels, who we could become." I sure hope he's right, that we are being called back to civility, respect, and loving neighbor. The stories we know well shape our lives. That goes for the stories we experience firsthand. It goes for the stories we watch on television when we're invited to follow a trolley to the neighborhood of make-believe inhabited by puppets. And that goes for the stories we've heard so many times from Scripture, like the story of the Good Samaritan. The words we know so well from the parable shape our lives. He passed by on the other side. The one who showed him mercy. Go and do likewise. When we hear those words in our heads as we're out in the world minding our own business, we know that we cannot pass by. Jesus says, go and do likewise. This is our invitation to show mercy, to act out of love, and to be a good neighbor. Each episode, when Mr. Rogers sang his song, "Won't You Be My Neighbor," it was an invitation to closeness, to be that good neighbor. So go and do likewise. Amen.